It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 28-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
Tell us about real estate today.
Well, the real estate luxury market, it's going to be flourishing for 2017. They're basically very optimistic about this sector. And the reason being, for one reason, new mortgages. You know, a lot of mortgages, the government-owned mortgages that are owned by Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, they will be providing backing for larger mortgages than they have in the past. So that's good news. It used to be 417, and they've bumped it up to 424. Not a big difference.
So a conventional mortgage would have been 417 or less. A jumbo mortgage, which would be under kind of different criteria, would be over 417. Now that number is 424. It doesn't seem like that big.
It doesn't seem like much, but it's also, if you think about it, it's the way that they're projecting things. They see things more optimistically. So it's not so much about the number that they raised it to, but they're thinking along those lines.
Yeah. So the economy's improving. So they're raising their standards a little bit.
Right.
Or lowering their standards, I guess you can say, allowing people to borrow a little bit more money. What about foreign buyers? Do they have any influence on luxury real estate this year?
Absolutely. The internationals, they still want U.S. luxury property and they're expanding their horizons. They're seeking out, you know, in many different American areas, not only the luxury, but the high-end properties in a lot of the metropolitan regions across the nation. So that's all good. They're looking for, you know, safe investments like, you know, any other homeowner would. They're looking for long-term growth opportunities, affordable pricing, you know, and getting their best returns. So that's all good.
I guess America is still considered the safe haven.
Correct.
So with all of the political disruption, let's say, going on in Europe, with the Eurozone kind of questions about Brexit and other countries maybe leaving the Eurozone and the destabilization that that might bring attracts people to safe havens like the U.S. However, I will say that the dollar is really appreciated against currencies like the euro. So it's more expensive for these foreigners to buy properties over
here. That's right. And I think there's a push right now because of that. They see that, you know, the opportunity as the dollar rises, the opportunities are going to be more costly. So there is a little bit of a bump there.
Sure.
The ultra luxury market, that's actually going to be more affordable. So what do I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to have a constant and steady growth, which is good, but we're not going to see it just, you know, continue to grow because it's just expensive. So we're going to see that market, maybe the prices come down a little
bit. You're talking about the ultra high.
The ultra.
Yeah, we're talking
luxury.
About, you know, 20 million,
20
40
million
for an apartment in New York or something like that.
Right. Actually, in the first part of this year, New York, there are a lot of high-end properties that sold just in the first week.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So that's all good news.
All right. So, you know, another turn of the worm, so to speak, or coming out of this long recession that we seem to have been in since the Great Recession is that a lot of these once abandoned projects that everybody saw on the, you know, on the side of the road as they're going by that went into bankruptcy after 2008 and so on, those are now starting to come back as well.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there's such a low supply of lots available that are buildable, and the builders are going into these abandoned properties. And basically what they're doing is they're buying them up and they're revamping them, and they'll put in a, you know, a different name so it doesn't have the stigma of what it what it once was. And that's due just because there's a low level of available lots. The median lot right now is at 45,000, which is actually at a record high. And again, I'm talking about across the country.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was information about this subdivision known as Cameron Springs, which was plagued with abandoned lots left behind in the 2000s, was picked up by an investment firm. They bought the 101 remaining lots for $375,000. They spent $550,000 to finish the lots, to upgrade them. They put a pool in and a clubhouse, and then they sold it to D.R. Horton for $6 million.
I know.
Yeah,
God,
good deal.
I wish I had that foresight. And then they changed the name from Brightwood to Brightwood on the Lakes.
Yeah, wait a minute. Brightwood established 2007, like yuck, to Brightwood on the Lake established 2016. So I put some lipstick on it and renamed it.
Exactly. I wonder if they had mold issues like we have here in South Florida.
All right. Let's talk about some other issues here. Let's talk about some of my favorite stuff, which are questions that listeners and writers, people who write into local newspapers, ask of experts. And here's one about a fair housing violation entitled, "How Can That Be?" So here it is. Recently, a broker in Florida received a demand letter in the mail from a fair housing center in Texas. The letter included a copy of one of the broker's rental listings that included no kids in the public remarks. When the broker talked to the listing agent, she explained that the owner is a close friend and that the home's pool does not have a child safety fence and it's unsafe for children to live there. The broker, the agent, and the homeowner in this scenario are in violation of U.S. fair housing laws. What's going on there?
You know, Steve, that's funny because I had the same exact scenario happen to me 2 weeks ago. I put a property up for sale. There is a pool. They don't have a child fence. And the landlord said to me, "I don't want children in the property." And I told her, I said, "Well, that's against federal housing laws. We can't discriminate against any race, creed, religion, national origin, handicap, familiar status, you know, et cetera." And she is an agent in New York, and she's claiming that up there, they're allowed to, but maybe just in condos. I don't know anything about that. Mm-hmm. As far as I know, you just cannot discriminate no matter what. So I understand their intention. It was to, you know, make sure that there could be no drownings. They didn't want the liability. Mm-hmm. But, if you have a swimming pool and you're a landlord, it's really your responsibility to make sure that you provide protection around the pool. Put up the child fence. It's not that much money.
Right.
It would be well worth it, but you absolutely cannot make statements like no kids and you can't discriminate. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, but I think the other problem here was that they actually put it in writing in the margin of the agreement.
That's right.
And put it
out there and advertised.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a serious no-no.
Yeah, no, right. My guest as always is Terry Story, a 28-year veteran with Coldwell Banker located in sunny Boca Raton, Florida. And she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.